Football is about the Jimmys and Joes and X's and O's.
Blue 58! Blue 58!
Check New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
28, Baker Bruce!
It's time to get out the chalkboard and diagram some plays.
Here's where it all starts, right here.
Let's play! G-Money Christmas!
What the hell's going on out here?
This is Inside Football with former Colts and NFL coach Rick Venturi.
The Colts are on to week 13 of the NFL regular season. Five games to go, one before a week off and a bye, and the Colts are back on primetime Sunday night this time, facing off against one of the best teams in the NFL right now, the Dallas Cowboys at 8-3. Good to be with you. I'm Matt Taylor on this first day of December 2022, coming to you on Thursday as we tape this week. We're joined as always by Rick Venturi and his over 40 years of coaching experience in the game of football. RV, has it sunk in yet? The Colts are 4-7-1 after a very promising offseason, a lot of hype surrounding this team, and a season at this point that just hasn't delivered.
Yeah, no, Matt, you're exactly right. I mean, and I think this one, this ball game here, you know, the loss against Philadelphia was gut-wrenching, but you knew you were playing a quality team, probably a Super Bowl headed team. You could almost live with it. Not that there's a moral victory, but you could almost live with it. And I felt like that this restart against Pittsburgh, you know, had the ability to really get us going again and get us really going. It was a very, very winnable game. And so losing that one, in a sense, was devastating at that moment. I'm with you. You mentioned all those qualities, and I'm culpable in a sense, is that I totally believe.
Yeah, me too.
You know, coming out of training camp, that this team was a contender. I thought that it had so many more assets than liabilities. I did not see this 4-7-1. I did not see it coming. I really didn't. Unfortunately, we've lost so many one-possession games. It isn't like we're not competitive and couldn't be there, but we really haven't delivered. And I think probably the biggest surprise on a negative standpoint is the inability for us to really put a good offensive team out there. I mean, you know, I would have never thought that, you know, after 12 games we'd be averaging 15.8, you know, which would be 30th in the league. I mean, who was to ever believe that we would be last in giveaways after being number one in 21? I mean, that's just absolutely mind-boggling, to be number one in giveaways in 2021 and to be last in 2022. I don't think anybody could have foreseen that in a million years. And Matt, still be in every game and lose one possession games. And our defense, in some ways, statistically, is better. I don't know if it's totally better. I think it's better. We haven't generated the turnovers. I think that last year was the defensive salvation in many cases. We generated a ton of turnovers right at the top of the league. We have struggled in the last month or the last 5 weeks. We've really struggled in the fourth quarter with one drive, you know, one critical drive that we couldn't stop, you know, that has now, you know, cost us games, really. It's cost us three games,
yeah.
You know, and you know, it obviously, if our offense was better, we probably wouldn't even come down to that situation. But, you know, in the end, you're in that situation, and we really haven't, you know, been able to deliver. And that's what it really comes down to. I think when you go back, and I see a lot of technical reasons. I mean, I could get into a million reasons, but, you know, what we really lost from last year, I think, where it all started, is the inability to really consistently run the football. I mean, and with a great running back. I mean, we just have not been the running team that we were, certainly for 15 Sundays, you know, last year, you know, when we were a fearsome running game where teams feared us. I can remember people after 15 games saying, man, we don't want the Colts in the playoffs because their style is so good and they can run it. And really, the league has caught up with us. We haven't made the adjustments X and O wise. And so I think the inability to run the game has put pressure on our liabilities. And, you know, we have a liability at left tackle, and that's not to slam Ryman. That's not to, you know, pile on. He's just not ready. I mean, I think he'll probably be a pretty good player as a sophomore, but he is just not ready physically or experience-wise. And what happens is when you're not running the ball and you're not winning on first down, you get into disadvantaged situations 67% of the time. Every time it's, you know, second and 10 and third and 8. And then at crunch time last week, this is 2 weeks in a row, you know, where at crunch time they get critical sacks and pressures on the last drive that end up affecting us. You know, and then I am critical of our scheme there. We do very, very little to help them, and I think that's something that, you know, it really should be addressed. I just think that's crazy that we don't do it. And so, you know, I think that's all gone hand in hand. And then, you know, when you're playing from disadvantage, I think two things affect you. Number one, you tend to get more turnovers because you're throwing the football. You're throwing the football in a pocket from long yardage. You're getting their best rushers on your matchups. You're getting blitzes. They're coming after you. And then from a defensive standpoint, it's much more difficult. And I know this from all the years I did it. It's just much more difficult to get turnovers when you're playing one score down, two scores down, because teams just take the air out of the ball. They'll get very conservative. It's not that they'll never throw it, but they're gonna throw, you know, with much more caution, and they just don't give you a chance to get the ball. And so I think all that stuff wrapped into one, you know, and then it just seems like, and I don't know if we wear out, although the time of possession was a 6 minute different this week. There's no question the time of possession helped Pittsburgh, but we also, with the, you know, also going along with not getting turnovers, we haven't been able to generate rushes, Matt, in fourth quarters, you know, and that's mm-hmm. where you really got to have it. And for the most part, you've got to get it with your four-man rush. By then, your blitz package is pretty well exposed by the fourth quarter. And so your rushers have to take over. And again, we just haven't generated rushes in those drives, those critical drives that have beat us in the fourth quarter. But, you know, and it probably, though, goes back as much as anything to us not being us, not being able to establish the running game, losing our identity that way, and then really playing from disadvantage all the time. You know, to say that we aren't a capable team is wrong because we're in those one-possession games
right, yeah.
with the best of them.
Nine of them this year.
Can't find a way to finish it.
So with all that said, you know, certainly now you look at it, the Colts are long shots to make the playoffs, currently 3.5 games out of that last wild card spot. It's going to take an awful lot for that to happen. So as a coach, you know, there's still 5 games left, as I said. What's your focus now? Because the outside noise is getting louder.
Yeah.
People are saying players need to go. People want you to lose to help with that draft position. As a coach, Rick, how do you handle the situation that the Colts are in right now with 5 games to play and still a lot to play for if you're inside that locker room or you're a coach on this staff?
Well, I've been in that situation twice, and it's really, really difficult. And you got to make sure that you can stay focused and you don't come apart at the seams, number one. And if you do that and you give it great effort, winning and losing can take care of itself. But you really have to stay in the process. I think this is where your personal leadership skills are, you know, have to max out. There isn't any doubt about it. You know, and I think you have to circle the wagons. As you say, we have to stay in a tight compartment, not only daily, but we have to prevent ourselves from the outside. I used to tell my guys, don't go out to eat. Don't go out in the community. Don't listen to all that stuff. It's us against them. And in this case, it's us against everyone because everybody has you dead in the water. As you say, they're talking about draft picks. They're trying to say we should be tanking. We want to lose. You got to tone all that out. and what you're doing right now. First of all, you still have to fix all your tactical issues, okay? You know, how do we help Raymond? I mean, number one, we have to do things better and smarter, number one, from a tactical standpoint. And then from an emotional standpoint, it's really important now that we appeal to their pride, to their professionalism, you know, to the fact, and I would say this every day, every time that tape goes out, that is your resume. It doesn't matter whether it's for the Colts in 2023 or it's for 31 other teams. Who you are in the National Football League is what you put on that tape. And once you put it on that tape, it cannot be erased. And so hopefully, and I do think we're okay here, hopefully you have a lot of good people on your team.
Right.
And by that I mean guys that are self-starters, that do have a lot of pride,
professionals,
that are not going to give up,
mm-hmm.
that are going to go out and play hard because they don't know any other way. I do think Chris Ballard has put a lot of emphasis on that type of guy here. You know, maybe you can argue about how he drafts or what he drafts or, you know, what the prototypes are, but there has always been an element of top football character guys. And I think that's really critical because a coach can only do so much. Your locker room at this point in time has to pull it together. Your leaders in that locker room have to be really, really good. But again, Matt, you've got to close the circle here. It's got to be a tight circle. It's got to be us versus the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be prideful. You know, this is who we are. We are pros. When you sign a contract, there's nothing in that contract that says you have to play because you're in a playoff race,
right,
or you have a winning record or a losing record. Your responsibility is 110% every day, every game. That's who you are. And then again, I'm going to close with, this is your resume. This is who we are. Every tape that goes out in that league for every general manager, every coach, every position coach cannot be erased.
Well said. No, that's really well put. No doubt about that. Could not agree more. That's Rick Venturi, and we're going to move on now to the Dallas Cowboys, who are 8-3 on the season, and they're up next here, taking a look at them on Inside Football. Second place in the NFC East right now, two games behind first place Philly in the standings there in that division. And Rick, if the playoffs started today, the Cowboys would be the first wild card team in the NFC, and there's that old adage, right? It's not who you play, it's when you play them. And the Colts might be playing the Cowboys at the wrong time. They've won four of their last five, and they're rested because they played last Thursday on Thanksgiving. So they've got that little mini-bye going into this game on Sunday night. And we'll talk about the offense and defense in more detail, but they're great on both sides of the ball. They're coached by Mike McCarthy, who oversaw the Packers for 13 years, won a Super Bowl there. So they're number 7 in scoring, number 2 in scoring defense. They've got the most sacks on defense with 45, the fewest sacks allowed on offense with only 14 surrendered, and they've got studs on both sides of the ball. On offense, Dak Prescott at quarterback, Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard at running back, C.D. Lamb at the wideout spot. They've got one of the best offensive lines in the game. On defense, they've got Micah Parsons, who won NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year last year, and he might be the NFL Defensive Player of the Year this year. He's on pace for that anyway. And that unit also boasts Trayvon Diggs, a ball-hawking corner, veteran DeMarcus Lawrence, and linebacker Leighton Vander Esch. So what do you see from the Cowboys on the big picture, 8-3 going into this game on Sunday Night Football?
Yeah, they really played two really good games in a row. There is any question about it, you know, with the exception of 3 weeks ago when they got beat at Green Bay. They have really come off of two good games. You're right in one sense in that I think they're rested with a mini-bye, but I'm not so sure the chain of events doesn't help us a little bit, because really when you're that hot, you really don't want to take any time off, to be honest with you. You just, you know, it's like being at the blackjack table and you're winning. You're just crying deal. Let's just keep dealing. Let's play.
Right.
And I feel like that, you know, actually sometimes with that little mini-bye by playing Thursday night, you know, if you come off a loss, sometimes I think it gives you time to take a deep breath, you know, and reevaluate and go. But sometimes I think coming off that really hot streak that they're in, and of course with the Cowboys, you know, they become the greatest team of all times with two wins in a row. I think sometimes there would be there might be a little tendency to relax just a little bit. And I say this tongue in cheek, and you know, when they look at our tape, honestly, you know, particularly like last week, you know, we've done everything possible to make them overlook us. And so, you know, I mean, human nature is what it is. Just like I say, you know, I don't want my guys exposed to what the public is saying right now for different reasons. If I were Mike McCarthy, I wouldn't want my team listening to all that stuff they're going to hear. Like, this is a 10.5 point game. You know, you'll have no trouble. You'll walk through this one and start to get ready for the playoffs. So, you know, you might have a little bit of an advantage there, actually. You know, Mike and I are really good friends, as you know, Mike McCarthy, and I think he's really maligned. This is one of the best football coaches that I've ever been around with. Mike and I worked against one another basically every day with the Saints for basically his first 3 years there as offensive coordinator. I was the defensive coordinator. And I think one thing that's interesting, there's only four coaches in history, Landry, Knoll, Belichick, and McCarthy, that have had 8 straight playoff teams. He's actually one of the most mentally tough and best offensive minds in the game, and he knows how to develop a quarterback. As a, you know, he's disheveled every once in a while. He was so committed to the game, you know, that sometimes one time he came to work with jeans and wingtips. I mean, you know, it had been a long trip like we're going to take this week, and he had a short night, and because he doesn't care about that stuff. And I think that might come, you know, a little bit with game management and some of those things. But, you know, with Kellen Moore running the offense and Danny Quinn running the defense, I mean, they're really, really in good shape. And you mentioned it. You know, they got the touchdown twins. We'll get into that as running backs. Dak's a very good quarterback with a 6th best QBR in the league. You know, a couple really good receivers. I think C.D. Lamb is, you know, a premier guy, to be honest with you. I'll get into Schultz, you know, at tight end. They have some issues in the offensive line, you know, without Tyron Smith. When he gets back, they'll kick Terrell Smith, the rookie, back into guard. But they have some issues there. But overall, as you said, 7th in scoring. And then on defense, they've played really lights out lately, and they're really athletic. You know, as you said, number 2 in points. Actually, they've been number 1 up until last week.
Yeah.
Number 2 in points and number 1 in sacks. And, you know, they have a bunch of rushers, but, you know, they're led by their young breakout star in Parsons, you know, who has 12 sacks, and he can line up anywhere. I mean, he lines up as a stack backer some, and then he's on the outside as a rusher. You know, and they're deep and fast. I'll get into all their guys. I mean, they've got rushers and Lawrence and Armstrong and Fowler. On the other hand, Matt, and if, you know me, when we play somebody we should beat, I will always play the game with myself, and I'll say, how can this team win? And I did it with Pittsburgh last week. And darn if they didn't hit 5 of the 6 things for them to pull the upset. And then when we play somebody that's really good, I always say, how can they lose? Well, one of the areas they can lose in is they really struggle to stop the run. I mean, they're 25th in rush defense, you know, giving up 4.7. And if you remember against the Packers, they gave up 207, and that changed the whole game. The other thing is, you know, and Mike gets a lot of heat for this and probably should, is their 31st worst penalized team in the league. And if you watch the Giants game closely, they had 13 penalties against the Giants. So, you know, those are all things that, you know, can work against them. Like I just wrote to myself, how can they lose? And I said the answer is really simple. They can't stop the run. They're highly penalized. Dak will force it, and their left corner is a huge liability, which I will get into later. Now, the Venturi barometers, they're very good. They're number 2 in points given up. Their QBR is 6, and their turnover ratio is number 4, you know, plus yeah. 5. So, you know, that's the reason that they're 8-3. But as I would say before we get into the actual blueprints, you know, they're very good, but there are cracks, and they were exposed at Green Bay.
All right, well, let's get into them. Let's talk about the blueprints. Dallas coming in boasts the seventh best scoring offense in the NFL, putting up 25 points per game. They also have a top 10 rushing offense, a top 10 team on third down in the red zone and in giveaways. The Cowboys have scored at least 28 points and have racked up over 400 yards of offense in four straight games. And their balance, Rick, that's even scarier between the run and the pass. They have at least 240 passing yards and at least 150 rushing yards in four straight games as well. They are the first team in the NFL to do that since the Bears way back in 1947. So
yeah,
they're really on one right now. And they're also the only team this season with three players with at least 600 scrimmage yards: CeeDee Lamb, and then running backs Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. And quarterback Dak Prescott has put up at least 250 passing yards and at least two passing touchdowns in four straight games. That is tied for the longest streak in Cowboys history. Has really been playing well since he came back from that injury. And the offensive line is guided by Indianapolis native Zach Martin, and they have only as a group given up 14 sacks all season. That's the least in the NFL and none in the last two games. So all of that, Rick, basically paints the picture that the offense for the Cowboys, it's rolling. This is going to be a really good test for this Colts defense.
Yeah, big-time test. There isn't any doubt about it. And I think the key that you hit, and it's gotten better, the passing game is really what's gotten better in the last four games. There isn't any doubt about it. And the key word is balance. I mean,
yeah,
you have two really, really good running backs in Elliott and Pollard. I mean, you know, they're combined for 1338, and, you know, more importantly, 15 touchdowns. I mean, there isn't any doubt about it. This is an elite combination. You know, Lamb, 64 receptions and five touchdowns. You know, I'll get into the must here in a minute. Gallup, Gallup kind of had a coming out game last week against the Giants. His numbers aren't nearly what Lamb are, but he came up with a really good game against the Giants. And then Schultz, I'll get into, is, I think, one of the under-radar, much like Freiermuth last week from Pittsburgh. I said that going in. They're very, very similar, and Schultz had a good game against the Giants with two touchdowns. Prescott, really talented competitor. He's an accurate guy. He's very accurate. I don't think that his quarterback, you know, it's a modest 10-6. Remember, he missed a lot of football, I think their passing numbers would be even better. But his touchdown to interception ratio is modest. And I do think that he is such a competitor that occasionally he will force a ball. He'll throw it into a pep rally every once in a while. So, I mean, I think that's a possibility, some things we got to think about. You're right about fewer sacks. I also think a lot of that, though, is playing from advantage and playing with a quarterback, because Prescott is not he's not going to run, even certainly, like Hurts. There's no way he's that guy, and I don't think he can run really as well as Kenny Pickett, but he can run well enough. He can escape. He'll run a few NCAA plays just to keep you honest. You know, when you look at their whole team, and when I watch Mike's team on offense, he and Kellen Moore together, I look at him and it's almost like I'm watching, our training camps back in New Orleans. I mean, it's the same kind of idea. They're going to give you a lot of 12 and 13 personnel. They'll sprinkle some jumbo and stuff like that. They will check with me run. He's a big check with me run. They'll get in a ace formation or an ace slot, when you'll see a lot of two tight ends in a big wing together, looks like unbalanced, and he's checking with me with that running game. If you're overbalanced one way, they're going to run that zone the other way. It's not real complex, but it's very effective, and their offensive line blocks well on the running game. A lot of check with me zones and stretches with those two runners. I think their wideouts do a great job, particularly Lamb. For a guy who's caught all those balls, he does a great job of coming back in and blocking in the box. So even sometimes if you had an eight-man front, they'll match you with that wide receiver coming in. and they'll run some tosses and some gaps versus sink and powers and counter trays. And again, Dak occasionally will keep it with an option, an RPO on first down, a lot of hitches on their RPOs and slants. That's built in. And then play pass, take the shots deep or check with me. Also, you got to be alert for some gimmicks. Their gimmicks are more speed sweeps. They'll use Lamb to do it. They'll use Pollard and even Hendershot score a touchdown, one of their tight ends. Again, every once in a while, they'll get into what we were trying to do with Hines and Taylor. They'll get into a fast regular with both of those running backs. And normally when they're in that, it's to get it to Pollard somehow, to get you to play Ezekiel and get him on the edge, either on a screen or a speed. You know, if they get behind in a count, it's a lot of possession. Mike loves 3-by-1. I'm going to get in that in the must. And he loves that 3-by-1. And we'll talk about it as we go. I think, you know, starting with the must, okay, we just have to stop the running game. If you don't stop the running game, nothing else will matter. And that is really the fulcrum. As I said, 1,338 rushing yardage by those two guys. And Ezekiel Elliott is really, he's back to full strength. He was really struggling for a while. And that's why you look at him and his average is 4.1. And really, he's the double hitter. He's the guy, when he's in the game, it's a lot more inside zone, Matt. He, and in short yardage, he's their short yardage guy. He's really kind of become the power guy, kind of that thruster from tackle to tackle, really. Even though he can do it all, that's kind of become his role. And then, of course, the guy that's just become a beast is Pollard, you know, at 5.6, you know, per. And, you know, if Ezekiel's hitting doubles, this guy's hitting home runs. I mean, he is really not just a guy that will slash it in there, but he will bounce it. He can take a pass for a home run. I mean, he's just outstanding. And they, like I said, they'll get in that fast regular with both of them, and they'll use him kind of almost as a gimmick guy. So, you know, really, really important that you stop the run. Again, that is everything. That will make everything else more difficult to them. So, you know, we didn't do a good job against Pittsburgh. We've been relatively good all year long, but we did not control the line of scrimmage. The Steelers control the line of scrimmage, and we can't let that happen with Dallas, or it's a long day. Okay, number two, we must have a scheme to shut down Lamb. You know, Lamb with the 64 catches, you know, he is, you know, by far the go-to guy. And the thing about Lamb is he'll line up everywhere. He can be out at X, at split end. He can be at Z. But he does a lot of damage. He's 6'2", 200. He has a lot of range, and they love to put him inside at, like, the slot, or sometimes he'll be all the way in at the tight end position at number three. And he makes a ton of interior catches. Always know where he is and defend him. No question about it. If the game is on the line and they're passing the football, we have got to have a way to double Lamb in a critical, critical situation. Now, when you do that, number three must is you have to play really good technique and have good individual matchups versus Gallup and Schultz, okay? Gallup is a guy you can press. He's not real fast. He's right at 4'5". He's 6 foot, about 200, but he plays long, and you got to compete for the fade with him, okay? He's a guy that, you know, he's really good on the 50-50 ball, and what they do a lot with him, Matt, is they'll get in 3-by-1 or a strong formation, and he'll be back at the weak side X, and they'll RPO quick slants or quick hitches, and they'll also run some fades to him because they trust him on the 50-50 ball. So, you know, in some respects, you want a really good corner on him. You have to make the decision as to whether you double, you know, at times that you double Lamb and you put your best corner on, you know, on Gallup, or you trust your second corner, which Faison is playing pretty well, and he played good 50-50 last week. So I think we have a chance on that matchup. And then we got to do a really, really good job on Schultz, particularly in the red zone. Okay, particularly in the red zone. Now, this brings up the usage of these guys. And I said this earlier in the discussion, and I've worked against them forever. Okay, Mike McCarthy loves 3-by-1 sets, okay, and two types. One, where a wide receiver's on the weak side, okay? And if that's Lamb back there, they're going to do everything possible to get it to him. If he's on the strong side at number two or number three, expect him in what we call all-go special to be running down that field, particularly at three, where he's bending and running away from people and trying to get a big matchup on that. So you got to be alert to where he's at, and basically they're going to let Dak look it over. If you rotate strong, the ball will come back to X. If you rotate it, if you stay balanced, I guarantee you, if Lamb is strong, that ball is going to Lamb. Now, the other type of 3-by-1 he likes is what we call a speed trips, okay? And that means all three receivers to one side and Schultz back one-on-one on the weak side. And there they're looking for one-on-one and matchups. And they'll run quick options to him. But what they really like when they get into the red zone is what Mike refers to, John Gruden refers to it, anybody that's had a West Coast background with what they call it a Y-POCO. And for the fans, what a Y-POCO means is it's an option deep. And the tight end has an option to run the post or the corner, thus POCO. Okay, and so what he's looking for, if the safety is in the middle and it's closed, then he's going to run, he's going to start to the post and run the corner. If there's no safety, if there's no safety in the middle, like it's split safety, cover two or something like that, he's going to start to the corner and run the post. So it's really a good option. Again, he caught a big touchdown on a POCO last week. So those are just things that you really have to be ready for on 3-by-1s. And then the fourth must, we've got to pressure Dak into turnovers. I think his 10-6 ratio touchdowns to interceptions, it's not overwhelming. I think if you stay ahead in the count and you narrow their playbook down, I think they have some hidden weaknesses, particularly on that left side on pass protection. But if they get in third and long, Mike is smart. He's going to keep those guys in the block. So you want to have your best coverages on third and long. If you want to blitz him 3rd and 5 to 7. But once you get 3rd and 10, they're going to have two guys back in there helping their tackles. I wish we'd look at the film and do some of that. But that's where you want to fake blitz and give him coverage and get back in there. And I think we're going to need a couple turnovers to win this game. And that, again, that's going to go back to getting ahead in the count, getting him in 3rd and long, and give him some coverage problems.
That's Rick Venturi. This is Inside Football, breaking down the Colts and Cowboys. I'm Matt Taylor, and we're going to shift gears now, talk about the blueprints to beat the Cowboys on defense. And that Dallas D, Rick, as you said, just as good as their offense. They come into this game ranking 1st in passing yards per game, sacks on defense. They already have 45 as a team, and they're 2nd in points allowed, giving up only 17 a game. And their 45 sacks, to go back to that, 2nd most by an NFL team through 11 games of a season in the last 20 years. And the star of that defense is linebacker and pass rusher Micah Parsons, ranked 2nd in the NFL this year in sacks with 12. He's got 25 in his first 2 years, only needs one more to join Reggie White and Aldon Smith as the only players with at least 13 sacks in each of their first 2 NFL seasons. And as you talked about in the bigger picture, they're only the only chink in their armor, the rushing defense. They're allowing 131 rushing yards per game. They've allowed 165 rushing yards per game in their 3 losses. That's 28th in the NFL in that regard. And so it's something the Colts need to take advantage of, or at least try to take advantage of. Potential there for the Colts and Jonathan Taylor to have an impactful game on the ground. What else do we need to know about the Cowboys on defense? Guided by Dan Quinn, by the way, was the head coach of Atlanta with quarterback Matt Ryan. So what else stands out to you about this Cowboys defense?
No, you're exactly right. They're extremely well coached, and they're very athletic. You know, Dan, you know, has them planned. He does. I think Dan does one of the best jobs, Matt, in the league, of keeping it simple enough for his players, but complex enough to give you problems in terms of your offensive thinking. Obviously, second in the league in points given up. You can't argue with that. And the 45 sacks. I mean, that's what they do. They don't give up a lot of points. And if they get you behind in the count, if they get the advantage, that 45 sacks is no joke. I mean, they don't have a lot of liabilities. They've got a lot of athletes up front. Parsons, you talked about. We'll talk about him. You know, he's potentially the defensive player of the year. 12 sacks really stand out. Their defensive line is deep athletically. You know, Lawrence, who's been around a long time, has 6. Armstrong, 8. You know, Williams, 3. Even Fowler now has got second life. He was a high draft pick and kind of busted, is now with 5. Van Der Esch is very, very solid in the mic. As a matter of fact, he goes so hard, I think you can attack him. You mentioned Diggs, outstanding at the right corner. No doubt about that. You know, they're good at safety. And we'll get into it. They have one liability, and I'm going to get into it, and that's their left corner, okay? When you look at them, they're a little bit like the Colts, and they're primarily an over-front team. They're not real complex. You know, they'll jump into 6. I mean, they'll jump into sync a little bit. They may jump into it more because of the problems we've had with it. When they're having problems, they'll bring somebody off the edge, a safety cat or a nickel cat, which we call it, you know, and play at like a fire zone. They will create a sink from their nickel defense, and then that's when Parsons, you know, becomes the edge guy. And they'll mix in dime on third down with Parsons at end, and then a guy named Bland becomes their nickel, and Curse, their safety, becomes the dime. Okay. If they do get you behind the count in second and long, let's say, or even third and long, that's when their coverage variance comes. Very little difference on first down, very little coverage variance. But on second down and long or third down, you'll get the quarters, you'll get cover 4, you'll get some solid Tampa 2, what we call one lurk, which is just one, but one of the safeties will lurk down in the hole and try to steal one. And sometimes they'll sugar up there and bring guys. Now, they will give you different fronts, okay? You know, Armstrong and Lawrence are very, what I would say, versatile on third down. A lot of times, you know, with Parsons on the end, they'll put Lawrence inside right next to him so that if you're doubling, you know, if you're doubling out, then they're going to get Lawrence one-on-one. Armstrong is used in a lot of different situations. When we go 3-2, when they go 3-2, he's kind of he's kind of what we call the spinner. He's the guy that looks like a linebacker that can move around. Occasionally, they'll get in in what I call a radar with everybody standing up and trying to give you some, you know, some to make decisions on who's coming, who isn't. But I will say this: despite all those glamour statistics and points given up number 2 and sacks. You know, number 145. That can't be denied. That you don't want to get in a disadvantaged game against this team. But here's the reality. Now, the biggest issue is their inability to control the run, and they are 25th per now, and that's the critical statistics, and that's given up 4.7 per rush, and that makes them vulnerable because if you can get that going, you can reduce the game and reduce their value and keep them in disadvantage, as the Green Bay Packers did when the Green Bay Packers rushed for 207 yards in Lambeau and actually beat them. And the other liability they have on the pass, now this assumes protection, is their left corner. Their left corner is really a guy that can absolutely kill them. And, you know, it's going to be Brown, number 3. And I want to talk about him on how to attack him. He's the ex-Purdue guy, but he is the one guy, and you want to attack him on first down. Okay, let's look at the must. After all those things we talked about, the must becomes rather obvious. Number one, we got to pound them to death. We got to take advantage of that 25-4. And if they stay in over, you know, I think we can get right after them. And I think when you look at their team, including Parsons, they're really constructed with athleticism more than power. That's where all those loose play statistics, including sacks, are so good. But they don't do great right at them, including Parsons. When he's the stack backer, to me, he's just a guy. And when they're in that over, and we've seen it with our own team, pound at it right away. Don't do a lot of finesse stuff. Go right at them. Power that three. They're really poor off tackle and on the edge. And if you can run right at Parsons, run right at him. Run at the stack when he's in the stack backer. Make Jonathan Taylor the MVP, not Parsons. Run the ball and reduce the game. Number two, you got to think protection, 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 and you've got to protect the edges. You've got to help your tackles and primarily your left tackle. Now, again, I thought Braden Smith did a terrific job last Sunday on There is no doubt. I thought he did a really good job, and I think you can trust him some. Parsons, a different story. When he's coming off that edge, we have got to have a schematic answer for Parsons. You cannot let him one-on-one with that kid. We got to think protection, protection, protection. I think, number one, when you're on first down, it's a combination of many things. Again, run it, RPO it, you know, quick rhythm. We did that in the third quarter. You know, we really got in a rhythm in the third quarter after the Flowers returned, and we got right back into what we do best. That's run, RPO, quick rhythm, screen. And again, that puts the defense on their heels. And I would say this. I think we should take a look at the Cowboy film, and I've seen Mike do it year after year. If it's third down and it's third down and longer, you've got to keep people in. You know, get your tight end, get your running back in the backfield, and make sure those edge guys can't get there. All right, number three must, go after Brown, okay? And go after him. If Joseph is in there, number one, it makes no difference. They're going to be on the left side. They do not flop them, and they are liabilities. You want to get over there. And we got to start taking shots. I mean, we can't possession all day long because one penalty gets you behind the count. We've got to start getting explosive plays. If we don't get explosive plays, we will never score many points. It's just not going to happen. And we've got to get up there and get 50-50 balls. On first down, those corners are naked, and that strong side left corner is naked, and you have to go after them. And I would say this to my receivers this week, okay? This is a game when you're doing 50-50 on Brown, okay? When you're 50-50 on Brown number three, if you don't catch the ball, do the best acting job you've ever done in your life. Throw your hands up because this guy is the most highly penalized corner in the league, and he has almost no chance to play you in the blind spot. Know that going in. You may have to get a big call in this game to win it, but again, attack that. Then I think number four, there's two things you got to do underneath. One is run misdirection play action against Vander Esch. That guy will hunt. He is going to go after you. He's going to go after that run. So if you play action, I think they're shaky underneath on crossing actions and play action overs and things like that. Also, be very, very ready for a man-to-man press games. Teams do not respect our receiver core. They're going to get up in your face like Pittsburgh in critical situation. So have our bunches ready, our stacks, our meshes, and our rubs to beat this team.
Great stuff right there, Rick Venturi. And to close out, Rick, it's a semi-short week for the Colts, having played on Monday Night Football, a trip to Dallas where everything's bigger, everything's brighter, the stage is big because it's Sunday Night Football, right? We all know that. And it's also the last game before a much-needed bye week for this team, a chance to make a statement, go into that bye week on a very, very high note, beating a marquee team. The Cowboys are good, but as you just kind of laid out, they have enough flaws to be had. What are you telling the Colts this week leading into this game in terms of motivation and where the Colts can win this football game if they play well?
Well, you hit it on the head. This is the biggest circus before the game. Matter of fact, we got to warn our girl Lara that, you know, she could get swarmed down there before the game with all the celebrities.
I've been down there. Listen, it's
before the game.
It's mesmerizing.
It drives me crazy. But in the end, okay, really, there's nothing better than coming off a bummer. That was a bummer. Really, there's nothing better than having a short week, because you really have zero time to linger on your failure and get to play in Sunday night football. If it's not Monday night, what's better than Sunday night in Jerry's world against America's team? You couldn't write a better script, really, for atonement, you know, for a very disappointing year with a win in the circus. I actually call it a circus. You know, when I look at a top team, like I said to you before, I always say, how can they lose? How can we beat them? First, and I say this in jest in a way, we've done everything possible to make them overlook you. But when it really comes down to real ball versus the media bullcrap perception and point spread, there is a path to victory. Here's how you beat them. You hang in early and you force a fourth quarter game. A team that is a prohibitive favor, that is told now for 10 days how good they are, they really, in the back of their mind, they really aren't ready for a four-quarter game. And you can crack them. If you can hang with them for four quarters, I know something about upsets, you can crack them in the fourth quarter. Run right at them, win the time of possession, and reduce this game. Reduce it down in time of possession. Protect, protect, protect. And attack their left corner and torch him. Play clean. No penalties. Play clean, and they will self-destruct with penalties, and they have problem with game management issues. Mm-hmm. Force Dak into turnovers. They're a very good team, but they're a beatable team. Note, Green Bay, Green Bay, Green Bay.
Yeah.
And I would tell the team more than anything else, guys, despite all the noise, you have a chance to be the NFL story on Monday morning. Just make it happen.
Inside Football, Rick Venturi right there, Colts and Cowboys. Rick, awesome as always. Is this your first trip to Dallas with the new stadium? Have you seen Jerry's World up close and in person?
Actually, no. I went there with the Rams. You know, when it was brand new, mm-hmm. Certainly at the end of my career, but no, and it is an experience. You know, I personally like Lucas Oil much better as a pure stadium. This is like, this is like an event.
Oh yeah.
And you know it, you've probably been there. It is a circus before the game. I mean, he's got like a million people on the sidelines. It's just absolutely crazy. So,
yeah.
You know, it is what it is. I always look forward to play there, particularly when I was with the Saints. We always played really well. We never gave a damn about them. We always used to laugh at America's team. You know, the hell with them. We're playing you. We're not playing Roger Staubach. So,
yeah.
You know, they can't possibly look at us and, you know, just feel like, boy, we've got to have a great game to beat this team. And,
yeah.
You know, if in this league that we talk about it every week, and everybody is so close to one another. I mean, Philadelphia, you know, they got the best record in football, and they're not running away from anyone, not from anyone. And that's just the way. What did you say last week? The point differential is 8 points a game in the whole season.
Right.
And so all you got to do is catch them a little bit light mentally, and you come in there and you hang with them for a while, everything can change.
Yep. That Jumbotron, though, man. I hope they put you on that Jumbotron. I need to see a 100-foot picture of Rick Venturi in my life. That's what's missing.
Oh, my God. I don't think the country's ready for that.
Well, if I catch you watching the game on the Jumbotron and not the field, I'm going to have something to say to you, all right? Because I know it's crystal clear, but I need to have the eyes on, maybe for the replays, but I need eyes on the field during the game, all right?
Okay.
You got it, man. Rick Venturi right there, Inside Football. RV, have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you on Saturday for Travel Day. Thanks as always.
I can't wait, Matt.
All right, good stuff right there. Rick Venturi, and that'll do it for this week's edition of Inside Football, breaking down the Colts and the Cowboys. As always, for the latest on the Colts, Check it out, Colts.com, the mobile app, and be sure to subscribe to everything on the Colts Audio Network, wherever you download your podcast. We've got plenty more the rest of the week, all week long, leading you into week number 13 and Sunday Night Football. Again, for Rick Venturi, I'm Matt Taylor, and we will talk to you next Wednesday. We're back on the normal schedule next Wednesday on the bye for another installment of Inside Football right here on the Colts Audio Network.